Chapter 25. Helotine, Canticus Southern District, the Cairns.
What just hit us?
Asked Drakkard, staggered by the sudden blast wave, but on his feet. Eliseus was about to shake his head when he sniffed the air.
You smell that? Soiled meat? Old blood?
Suggested Drakkard, his gaze flitting between the chaplain and their surroundings.
More like sour milk, said Eliseus. Warped craft.
Captain Helfer was being helped up by one of his troopers.
Feels like a damn bomb just went off, he groaned.
Blood was trickling down his face from a cut sustained across the forehead, and his closely cropped moustache and beard were powdered with a fine layer of dust. Most of the Kashrikin were down, some of them not moving. Eliseus regarded the mortal, his tone ominous.
I believe it just did, Captain.
Like their officers, the Fireborn weathered the blast better and stayed standing, though had to check their advance mid-march. Dust was still rolling across the street in swathes as Herus of the Serpentia broke formation and went to reconnoiter. Rubble, indistinct and ubiquitous, lay everywhere, but offered no answers. The tactical display was down, whatever had struck them taking out their short-range comms and helm visuals. Based on their previous position, Drakkard knew the Centurions could not be more than 200 or 300 meters away.
Did you hear gunfire prior to the blast? Drakkard asked Eliseus.
The chaplain nodded.
We should move.
A slow advance became a run, Drakkard to the fore, with the Serpentia his vigilant shadows. With Herus back in their ranks, they surrounded the captain like a cloak of drake scale and moved in concert. Caution was discarded in the wake of whatever had hit them. Gunfire, scarcely heard before the blast, resumed loudly on the air. Close on the heels of the Serpentia were Squad Vargan. Led by Captain Helfer, the Kashrikin followed on as rearguard and left the slower devastators behind. After a few minutes, they found Bardak. The sergeant was lying on his back at the edge of a circle of scorched earth, his armor blackened just the same. Smoke clouded the area, seeping through the ruins. Fires crackled in the open, creating flickering shadows. Warriors moved in the gloom, too indistinct to know exact numbers and disposition, their weapons' fire succinctly revealing their allegiance.
Serpentia! Engage!
Shouted Drakkard, advancing steadily with the honor guard, as Sergeant Vargan and the Kashrikin swiftly moved up in support. Return fire erupted across the Imperial line, a collimated mix of bolter shells and hellgun las rounds. A missile exploded nearby as the Salamanders' briefly overloaded armor systems came back online. Targeting reticules lit up the retinal lens displays of 20 Fireborn, who unleashed a fearsome salvo against their hidden enemies. Then silence. As quickly as it had manifested, all enemy resistance died away to nothing. The last few echoes of Squad Vargan's bolter fire were fading as Drakkard held up his hand for them to cease.
Hold here,
he said, allowing the Serpentia to reach the stricken form of Sergeant Bardak.
Apothecary!
Sepelius broke ranks to kneel by Bardak's side. Taking out his bioscanner, he assessed the damage, whilst the rest of the squad shielded him and the injured centurion.
Life signs are weak, he told his captain, noting the arrival of the devastators through the press of bodies.
Drakkard nodded grimly before turning to Eliseus, who preempted him.
I'll see to the others.
There were three other centurion warframes lying prone in the dirt. The fifth and final squad member was scattered around the battle site in pieces.
As Eliseus went to check vital signs and provide final rites if needed, Drakkard surveyed the ruins. They were quiet, but that didn't mean anything. He ordered both Devastator squads to bombard the next city block to be sure of no further surprises. As a massive firestorm engulfed the distant ruins, Sergeant Vargon approached.
Sir, we've just received word from Sergeant Xantho.
Drakkard bade him to continue.
His armored column has joined up with Venerable Korad and the Cadians and awaits further orders. Tell him to push up, head east.
In his mind's eye, Drakkard imagined a wave of purifying flame sweeping across Canticus, burning all heretics to ash, and finally ridding Helatine of the Black Legion's consumptive presence. He bristled with fury at the thought, his grip tightening on the haft of his cascara.
We are become two mailed fists, which, when they meet, will crush the heretics utterly.
Drakkard allowed himself a vicious smile, which more resembled a snarl on his scarred face.
Have Sergeant Kadoran converge on our location. Tell him we are consolidating our forces before advancing further into the ruins.
And the Sororitas, Brother Captain?
He'd almost forgotten about them. Their knowledge of the relic sites had stopped the Fireborn from chasing shadows and let them finally engage the enemy. In the wake of current events, these facts seemed somehow less significant.
Relay to them to move up in support, but not to get ahead of our lines. This is our victory, Sergeant, one for the Fireborn, not the Ecclesiarchy. They may have whatever relics remain at the end, but I want the honor of breaking these traitors to go to none but us. Am I understood?
Vargon saluted firmly, his eyes blazing with fierce pride.
Aye, sir.
In his wake, Eliseus returned. Judging by his body language, his mood was less choleric.
Bardak was the only survivor, said Eliseus gravely. The rest of the Targons are slain.
A tremor of anger rippled through Drakkard at this news, and he felt his old wounds flare in painful sympathy. He had always believed pain was useful if it could be honed into anger, and that anger then put to use. His retinal lenses shone in the bright incendiary flare of the concentrated barrage from the Devastators.
Sepelius and a squad of Kasrkin will stand guard until a transport is scrambled from Eskadan to provide extraction. It is a great loss to the chapter. It will be greater still if we do not march again soon. The Targons will rise again, brother. You are more sanguine than I expected, Urzan. Bardak was a centurion in more than just rank, as his service studs will attest. I am not sanguine, Eliseus. I am wrathful. And when put to proper purpose, wrath can be useful.
Drakkard smiled, though he knew the chaplain could not see it.
Are you reading my mind, brother?
But, Eliseus continued, if prompted to act rashly, it can be a severe detriment. Now Drakkard faced him, seeing the sermon for what it was.
Speak what's on your mind, chaplain.
We should tread warily.
We will, but with purpose,
Drakkard countered, and Eliseus saw how the long weeks had taken their toll on an already injured warrior. He was old and worn like drake hide. Such treatment makes the scale hardy and unyielding, but beat it too much, and even the toughest hide will crack.
I know you are eager for this, Urzan, but we should not overreach ourselves. There is much we don't know, such as what killed Bardak and his squad.
Bardak lives
by a thread. His part in this war is over.
I will take any and all precautions. I am not Adrax Agaton, charging off half-cocked. A pity he did not heed your counsel, as I have.
Would you hear it now? Eliseus asked. Only a fool would ignore the wisdom of his chaplain.
Eliseus laughed mirthlessly at the politic answer. Whilst there was respect, a gulf of mistrust existed between them. Where Drakkard believed Eliseus to be suspect because of his former association with Third Company, Eliseus was convinced Drakkard was so desperate for glory that he might neglect his own good sense. None of this could be said aloud, for it would undermine command, and it was not the way of Adeptus Astartes to voice such open dissent. But it was the truth.
Hold here, fortify and defend what we have won, and send in scouts to see what lies before us, Eliseus said.
Why would I do that when our enemy retreats?
Eliseus tried not to sound exasperated.
It's a dozen warriors, perhaps fewer.
They're on the run, for the first time since this war began.
We have been afforded a glimpse, and know nothing of our foe's disposition or strength. Look to the evidence of your eyes and see the peril of underestimating what is out there.
Are you a military tactician, chaplain? Or do you, in fact, advise on the spiritual well-being of your brothers?
Heeding his better judgment, Eliseus did not give in to pettiness.
I am a servant of the Emperor, as are you, whose solemn duty is to preserve the rituals of the chapter and guard against false pride.
Drakkard was stubborn. He bit back a sharp reply and instead answered,
As soon as Sergeant Cadoran arrives, we advance, and nothing shall dissuade me from that course. We have been made fools of by a dwindling war band of heretics who use the terrain to their advantage. That ends now.
It availed them nothing to be at odds now, for good or ill. Drakkard would receive his full support.
In Vulcan's name, then,
Eliseus replied. But the words rang hollow. 18 armor kills littered the field, their shells still burning. Another 7 were scattered throughout the connecting streets. Most were light vehicles, with only a few actual battle tanks amongst their number. No renegade Astartes armor, no foul engines of the Dark Mechanicus. This was a distraction force thrown together with the express purpose of dragging Xantho's company deeper into the ruins. The tank commander was beginning to wonder if a real army still existed on Helotine, or if, in fact, they had been chasing shadows for the past weeks. Such a warren as Canticus made it difficult to know. Ever since they had cleared and crossed Salvation Bridge, the route had become ever more crowded with scrap and wreckage. It had taken 2 hours to destroy the heretic armor. Xantho had been forced to reduce much of the district to rubble in the process. Fortunately, the arrival of Korad and the guard battle tanks had made bracketing the enemy easier. It was then a simple matter of tenaciously advancing down every road and street that could accommodate a battle tank, until nothing remained. In the end, they had pinned the last recalcitrant enemy armor in an expansive public square. The rare allowance of space did little to improve maneuverability, such was the overcrowding of vehicles. Victory came swiftly to the Fireborn, but felt almost profligate.
We should aim south, break through here.
Red Gage indicated a point on the hololith with his gloved finger, where a wide road circumvented the city outskirts.
And then reroute east as ordered.
Xantho stroked his beard. It was part of the great red mane of spiked hair that framed his face, which presently was wrinkled with consternation.
A long diversion, Colonel. True, but faster than slogging our way through these streets where we are at risk of being ambushed. Concealed infantry should be our main concern. My main concern is following my commander's orders,
Xantho replied, looking up from the grainy map image to see the Vindicators had almost cleared the enemy wrecks with their attached dozer blades. Embarkation was imminent.
But you're right, he conceded, looking back at Colonel Redgage.
They'd only lost 4 vehicles during the battle, and all of those to hidden demolitions teams.
I'll give the order to head south.
Right you are, sir,
said Redgage, smoothing his grey moustache.
My lord,
he added, looking up nervously to Xantho's left before saluting crisply and returning to his tank with his men. The 3 commanders had met in the square in the shadow of Xantho's predator. Redgage had come with his entourage. Xantho was alone, so too the 3rd officer of this gathering.
You cannot bear me a grudge for following orders, brother.
Xantho kept his eyes level and didn't look up.
Had I not acted as I did, further lives may have been lost.
Lives were lost,
a deep, mechanized voice replied, conveyed through a vox emitter.
It is war. That is its currency, said Xantho, finally gazing up at the towering form of Venerable Khorad. One which I have long accepted, since before you were even an initiate.
The dreadnought turned a fraction, easing his sarcophagus over the sergeant to glower through his vision slit at him.
For an ancient, you are petty, Khorad.
For an ancient, I am temperate, roared the dreadnought, stomping towards Xantho so he had to back away or be crushed.
But do not think me blind either, he said more calmly. I know what Drakkar ordered you to do, as I know my own orders. He is frustrated and believes he can lose this war. To compensate, he throws himself into the crucible without proper caution.
Only an ancient such as Khorad would ever openly criticize his commanding officer in this way.
Such things, whilst incredibly uncommon, were not without precedent.
Yet the fact of hearing it still rankled with Xantho.
Defeat is always possible, though I never took you for cautious, brother. Not for the victors, and I am mindful. There is a stark difference.
Khorad paused, letting the harsh grind of servos articulate his mood.
If you are so certain of our captain, why are your largest war engines languishing in Eskadan?
To reinforce us. I am being prudent.
Xantho didn't feel it, though, and Khorad was wise enough to see that.
Grind down a blade enough, uttered the dreadnought, and soon even the sharpest sword will lose its edge.
Zende, but what has philosophy got to do with any of this?
Our captain functions with blunted purpose.
Then it is our duty to help restore it. I say again, what is your meaning, Khorad?
Be mindful, that is all. As we speak, Urzan Drakkard is dangerously close to being reckless, said Khorad, turning and stomping away.
The last words of the ancient troubled Xantho, for he too had noticed the strain Drakkard was under. His old wounds had made him bitter, the fact of his being sidelined to the reserve companies even more so. This was a great opportunity for him to show his mettle, and in his opinion, at least, restore the chapter's reputation. Drakkard had needed a war of his own. He just didn't need this one. Climbing back aboard his predator, Xantho took up position in the cupola hatch and stared out into the dark horizon. The way ahead was occluded, but he felt a cold wind against his face and wondered what it might portend. Naib landed with a minor ignition flare from his jump pack, burning the earth around him and searing the short grass underfoot. This part of Canticus had once been its ornamental gardens and vineyard, but the war had made it a dirty brown mess of felled trees, broken statues, and fire-blackened vegetation. The grass was churned to dark earth from the tramp of booted feet. The fountains were broken or choked with chemicals. A single tree stood alone in the midst of this destruction, the fruit on its branches withering and rotting in the actinic air.
"A world has lost its innocence, brother,"
Valin remarked as Naib killed his turbine engines.
"I'm not sure if Helitine was ever innocent, but it has certainly lost much."
An explosion detonated 50 meters away, turning a fallen ornamental arch into rubble, but neither Fireborn reacted beyond a glance. Red Gage's engineers were demolishing the gardens, clearing a path for the tanks to traverse unimpeded. Until they were needed elsewhere, the Wyverns had been tasked with ensuring the sappers' safety. Valin stared into the darkness, willing the enemy to appear. Since Salvation Bridge, he had seen little in the way of combat, and now the silence of that was becoming deafening. Instead of foes, though, he saw the squad widely dispersed over the expansive area, patrolling in loose pairs. His mood darkened further. With the deaths of Sorad and Illus, they had been reduced to 8.
"You saved Dercius and I," said Naib softly, as if guessing Valin's dark thoughts. "Illus died a wyvern, fighting hard and on his feet. None of us can ask for more."
"Then why does it bother me still?"
"Because they are dead, and we would wish them not to be. It's not so hard to understand, brother."
"You have an oversimple view of the world, Naib,
and you think too much."
Naib gestured to Dercius as he landed nearby and within earshot.
"Try being more like the Themion. An anvil feels nothing."
Dercius did not rise to the bait as Iaptus and the rest of the squad landed a few seconds later. In the distance, a chimera had arrived to ferry the engineers. Evidently, their work was complete.
"We push north," Iaptus told them, "acting as escort for the armor. Brother Orcas will provide infiltration momentarily." "Do we have eyes on the enemy, Brother Sergeant?" asked Valin.
"The Black Legion? Not yet. Nothing since the bridge. But apparently Captain Drakkard is confident we are close."
Above, they could all hear the heavy whip of a gunship's turbofans as it came in to land.
"Even the skies fall quiet,"
muttered Kaidak as the vague outline of the Thunderhawk appeared overhead.
"They will be aflame soon enough," said Iaptus flatly.
Arok ventured a question. "Brother Sergeant, what of the Sororitas? Have we received word of their movements?"
Iaptus looked up at the descending gunship, which was close and right above them.
"Nothing beyond their pledged support."
"I, for one, am grateful of it," said Zerus,
the veteran having nothing but praise for the Seraphim who had fought beside them on Salvation Bridge. Iaptus nodded, but kept his own counsel. Kaidak exchanged a glance with Valin, their discovery of the Sororitas scavenger in the ruins still fresh in the mind.
"Tell me, brother,"
said Naib, his words lost to the others in the downwash of heat and noise as Orcas brought the gunship down to land.
"I neglected to ask. What did she say to you on the bridge?"
"She said we were too few," Valin replied, as the ruckus from the engine was diminishing.
Everyone heard him. Their silence provided the same answer.
They were too few, and alone could not win the war.